Micah. Micah is another minor prophet that tends to address sort of on a tangential basis in a couple places the asset tie. But Micah is a word, it's not even, they're not even sure he ever existed, but Micah is a word that means, it's a question. And it's, the question is, who is like unto our God? I mean, what can you possibly compare God to? And it was written about the time of the it's just before Samaria fell, you know, or the northern kingdoms. What's now, you know, what was Samaria in the time of the Jews was Israel in the time of David. You understand that? You all know that, right? And what's called Israel now, or was Judah. And Judah was the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And there was a separate southern kingdom as opposed to the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Israel was made up of the 10 tribes. Samaria under Manasseh created, they did a lot of stuff, but it ended up being that Manasseh put the golden calves inside the temple, and for that they were forever banished, forever. But Samaria, and it's not a good place. You don't want to go visiting Samaria. A lot of you visit Samaria. Well, God's going to say, from now on you can't even walk through Samaria. You don't want to be there on the high place. We saw the evilness of Samaria this weekend. And we'll see references to Samaria and Micah. Anyway.
You're going to have to find a new way to and from Babylon that doesn't happen.
I don't think you should ask.
That was not a smart question.
I don't think you can always say it.
Or way back to Babylon.
Remember Hezekiah's Passover, right? Well, Micah allegedly lived during the time of Hezekiah. So it was one of the prophets, maybe one of the prophets that participated in the destruction of all the high places that led to the wonderful Passover.
Was Micah friends with Isaiah?
Huh?
Would Micah and Isaiah have known each other?
I don't think so. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Morasthite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. It says this dumb thing. Let the Lord God be witness against you. You ready to do that?
Does it matter?
It matters totally.
Yeah, I feel like that's what's been happening to us.
Yeah. Yeah, you have, remember, you can close the door. Let the Lord God be witness against us. Against you, the Lord, from his holy temple. Yeah. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Okay, that's what we don't think we want that, but that's really what we want.
You know, that says what I've tried to articulate many times, why we're in this place of being Bible study teachers. That's the only thing, is this agreement to let the Lord be a witness against our high places.
Right.
It doesn't seem like there's any other qualification at all other than
Amen. This
thing right here.
And the mountain shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. Now, anyway, remember all the stuff about mountains. Mountains are just there's only one mountain, and that's Zion. Every other mountain is to be destroyed, not to be climbed up and investigated. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? No. The transgression of Jacob is you after the flesh. You understand that? The transgression of Jacob is you after the flesh. What is the transgression? Is it not Samaria? You after the flesh, on the walk of God, interested in God's stuff, teachers of God's stuff, the transgression that you will define will always be Samaria. Why? Because you will try to create your own temple. That's fundamentally what Samaria did. After Israel left, there was all kinds of mixtures of people in Samaria, just like us, ragtag old bunch. And what they did is they created their own temple in Mount Gerizim. They still do the Passover there. They get it all screwed up. It's like Chinese baseball. But they still do it. Still do that Passover every year. Still make that sacrifice. Still cut the neck of the lamb. But they're just like you after the flesh. You've created a religion by your understanding, by your definition. You've created an arena, a temple. You've created a sacrifice by your definition. I mean, I don't have to go to the scriptures to condemn you. I go to my own life. Had I been concerned if there were one or two or three, you wouldn't be here. And I didn't have anybody to scream at me. Except God. You don't have that right. You lost that right. You've lost the right to analyze yourself. You've lost the right to analyze your motives. The only right you have is know you not that Jesus Christ is in you. That's the only right of analysis that remains to you. You understand? If Jesus Christ is in you, there is no other situation. Then there could not have been a mistake in the past. There cannot be nothing against the truth in the future. If he's not in you, you're deep shit anyway, so forget it.
Yeah.
You got it? What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Jerusalem after the flesh. That's why Isaiah says about Jerusalem, he said, it's as Sodom and Egypt. Paul called Jerusalem after the flesh the picture or the metaphor of bondage. So in reality, this transgression of Jacob and the high place of Judah are the same thing. Anyway, let's go on.
You just hit the... I think if it wasn't for what we're going through, I would have thought that was the outside church rather than my image of Bible study or my image of what we're trying to... Pam and I are trying to do.
Right.
Would have thought it was something other than...
Oh, yeah. But you remember, the predicate of all this is high places. He's coming down to destroy the high places. You don't have the right then to make that the Baptists or the Church of Christ. Or it's you. I mean, and the word is Bama in the Hebrew. There's no doubt what they're talking about. It's not.
You just said that, Tom. The transgression of Jacob and that of Judah are the same. Is that, that's the transgression of Samaria is real easy for us to see? Because they made their own temple, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, it's the same as Jerusalem after the flesh, which is not easy for us to see.
Yeah.
And this after the flesh is Jerusalem.
Yeah. If you're coming here to get ways of doing stuff, then this is the Jerusalem after the flesh, which is in bondage yet with her children. If you're coming here to have your senses exercised to discern soul from spirit, good and evil, that's another thing. Then you'll never worship or give importance to a place. But if you've made this a place where you come to get how-tos, then you've become, this has become the Jerusalem after the flesh. And then this has become odious to the Father. Got it? Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. Well, that's what's been going on, folks. We've been getting discovered. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. And all the hires or whores thereof shall be burned with fire. And all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of a harlot. And they shall return to the hire of a harlot. You see it? Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable. Now this is what I read to Rick. And this is where he started. When the wound is incurable. That's an awesome. The wound of Samaria is incurable. Do you understand? I mean, you may not catch this quickly, but if in order for the wound of Samaria to be curable, Jesus Christ would have had to have succeeded after the flesh. He didn't. I mean, you're not a teacher.
I'm going to go have a cup of coffee.
Give me one, would you have a little friend?
For her wound is incurable.
Yes, that's Larry.
For it has come unto Judah. Now we don't want it unto Judah. Yeah. He has come unto the gate of my people. It's not just in Judah now, it's right to the gate of Jerusalem. Declare it, declare ye it not at Gath, weep ye not at all in the house of Aphra. Roll thyself in the dust. The house Aphra is the Hebrew word for dust. It means in the dust, roll yourself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Saphir, having thy shame naked. That just means you're living delicately. You know, it's like in Revelation 18 that, you know, oh, how you have glorified yourself, and say, I sit a queen and shall not be a widow. Well, that's what that means. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Saphir, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zanon, come not forth in the morning of Bethaziel, for he shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. For the transgression of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth Gath, the house of Achzib, shall it be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marashah. He shall come into Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald and poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into the captivity. Now, all these places that you're talking about here, and I don't want to go into it tonight, but they're all like suburbs or surrounding areas of Jerusalem. And Samaria is coming through, and as she's coming up to the gate of the city, then all of these, if you take the metaphor out to the wilderness, it's the same thing. All of the mixed multitude around you are being polluted by this incurable wound called Samaria. You got it? Mm-hmm. No, the exhortation is don't let it get to you. There's an incurable wound that is touched and spread into the whole surroundings, to every encirclement around you. That's what it's sort of said so far. You got it?
And we're keepers of the gate, in a sense.
Right. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Harry?
You don't know how true that is.
When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hands.
Never in the early morning.
And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks, neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament and doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath change the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, and they shall not take shame. O thou that art named of the Lord, of the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by, securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children have you taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Do you understand anything I just said?
Yeah.
What it's saying is that we are not in the rest yet. We have not, your permanent seat is not yet on the mercy seat. This is not your place of rest. Not this, but this here. There are battles yet to be fought. Don't analyze your success or failure based on what you can see, feel, hear, touch, or smell now. This isn't your rest.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole problem, what he's saying is, you know, if you say that this is your rest, I mean, you're stomping before... You know, I mean, you're stopping at Samaria, and you're letting the stuff go unspoken. Unspoken.
I think one of the overriding things from this weekend was not that we had gotten to a place, much less an end, but I know for me, and I know a lot of other people, the reaction was this is the beginning. This weekend was the beginning of the journey.
Yeah. Okay. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah. Remember what that is?
Yeah.
Bozrah is the sheepfold, remember? Where you can go in and out safely. As the flock in the midst of the fold, they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker, or the destroyer, has come up before them. They have broken up, they have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Now, I'm only talking about this because I want to get to something later in Michael. So, I don't want to go through and preach in every word I hear. We'll never get out of here. We'll never get there. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel." We've never studied Micah before, have we, except Micah 7?
Seems like it comes up on a lot of hot seats.
Okay. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off the skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them? They break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in all their doings," or in their doings. Now, he's saying to us that we are plucking off the skin from off the house of Jacob. We're eating their flesh from off their bones. We're flaying their skin from off them, and then breaking their bones and chopping them in pieces for the pot as flesh within the cauldron. You understand?
Cannibalism.
Because you are gaining your sustenance from someone's response to you, you therefore are in the spirit as if you were chopping them up in pieces and making your morning or evening soup. You don't do that anymore.
It's just the opposite. The thing that's required is faithfulness in keeping the gate, which is to not allow any of that stuff to...
You understand me? When you are concerned with someone in your group and your response or position is dependent on their response to you or to your teaching, then this is what you're doing. Or the Levites. If you're ministering to people and your identity is based on their response to you, you're making Gentile stew. Mixed multitude salad.
American pate.
You got it? That's what Mike is about.
Rough.
And then don't do it.
Hey, if you see me.
Now, you don't have to believe me. I mean, don't say anything here that's what that means.
That's what it means,
though. Huh?
That's what it means.
If you go read the commentaries, it doesn't say that.
Everybody crack.
Thus saith the Lord, concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths. But even prepare war against him. You don't put, well, I don't want to get it. I don't care. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision. And it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. They shall all cover their lips. There is no answer of God. No, that's what the covering of the lips is it's the sign of the leper. Mm-hmm. One of these days we got to clean the lepers, don't we? I just remembered.
Yeah, everybody
came,
ma'am.
And then we're going to finish the offerings.
Oops.
Well, we can't go into the offerings until we clean the lepers.
That's
all right. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now, all of this stuff that we've just read, the prophet, I mean, this is a commentary, not on us, just only on us, it's a commentary on the world in modern religion, not just modern, for the hundreds of years. The prophets can't see, the seers can't see, nobody can see, except another instrument of how to get more self-realization.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to change that. And you individually can say with me, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin.
Amen.
You don't have to fear what anybody can say unto you. But first of all, judgment must begin here. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood. That's what you have to do if you don't take faith. You build up Zion with blood. That's what God hates that. It really makes him mad. And Jerusalem with iniquity, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Hallelujah, none evil can come upon us.
Remember that for the guy at the morning news tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. Now the Zion they're talking about is they that trust in the Lord, or is Mount Zion. It shall be plowed. And Jerusalem shall become heaps. Completely wiped out. Well, that's what happened in the flesh. And now it's happening in the spirit. And the mountains of the house, the high places of the forest. But we want to be part of the but.
Yeah.
In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. They're flowing uphill. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation, or people, that's a bad word, it's just the Hebrew word am, it just said people, shall not lift up a sword against people, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now that's what is happening here. We are beating the sword into a plowshare. We shall not learn war anymore. You got it? That God didn't give a crap. I mean, people use this.
It's a misuse.
It's a good song lyric.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's a popular song lyric.
But they shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree. Sounds like a nice occupation. We got to grow some fig trees, too.
Yeah, I'll grow the figs.
What are you doing?
My mother's got great fig trees in her place.
The figs up.
Big I mean, fat leaves, too.
Oh, yeah, but the figs are... All right. Okay.
Oh, hold. Ain't no damn figs big as your fist.
Yes, there are. Just like that.
No. We never had them any bigger than that. And I thought that was huge.
Yeah.
You need to down the tree.
Well, you see the grapes were
big. All right.
That big.
Boy,
one grape.
You need to curse that.
They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. None shall make them afraid. Demons from the gates of hell can't make you afraid.
demons from Cleveland.
Now, Oli might make you afraid.
Demons from Winslow.
For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and he will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, until unto thee it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and there shalt thou go even to Babylon. And there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the land or from the hand of thine enemies. So how did you guys get to Babylon? The Lord sent you to Babylon. Yes. Why?
By hanging around in Samaria.
Huh?
From hanging around in Samaria.
Right, you'd be hanging around Samaria, but why did he send you?
It was for the...
So you could be delivered.
Yeah. Be in pain for labor.
Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I'll make thine horn iron, and I'll make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth.
Asset time.
Hmm?
Asset time.
Threshing floor. It's going to get more assets in a minute.
I was thinking about the daughter of Zion being sent into Babylon to be in pain and labor and all that stuff. Like we were saying today, the more the vine suffers, the better the one.
Amen. Chapter 5. Now gather thyselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. When you're passing under, I'm going to whack you.
On the cheek.
That doesn't surprise me.
On the cheek.
Especially
the
cheek.
Both cheeks.
All four cheeks.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So the real purpose of the passing under the rod is to identify the tenth, or the seed, or the remnant, or the... Got it?
Got it.
Therefore will I give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, and the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Now it says, as he shall stand and feed only in the strength of the Lord. That's what Christ said, I have meat to eat that no man knows of. And the majesty of the name of the Lord is God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. 7 shepherds and 8 princes. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in their entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, or in the middle of many people, or inside many people, as the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for men, nor waiteth for the sons of man. So he will be shed unto us as the early rain. Understand? And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, or in the side many people, or within many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. Why? Because of the Lion of Judah within you. You got it? Mm-hmm. This is pretty neat stuff. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. In other words, thy strength will be destroyed. And I'll cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands.
We've never read this before.
What?
We should have read this before.
We have read it before.
We did?
Yeah. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will so will I destroy thy cities. The word cities there is bad. It should be enemies.
Well, thank you.
And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen such as they have not heard. Now, so what we've done here, we've just had major battles. Groves and images and standing pillars are destroyed.
Chariots
and horses are destroyed. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the middle of many people as the dew. I will cut off witchcrafts. Soothsayers, graven images, standing images. No more worshiping the work of your hands. And those idols are the work of your hands. You built them. But he's not done yet. He's got some contentions with the house of Israel. Should we leave it here?
We just did 15.
Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Speak to that ridiculous place. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead, or argue, or contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Come on, testify against me.
It's kind of a tough position to be baited by God.
What?
So being baited by God there.
You're right.
God didn't want your sincerity anymore. You mean that's sort of the theme of this? God didn't want any "oh poor me" shit, Judy.
She didn't have to say my name.
Said, "Speak to the mountains." Should I say, "Judy's breasts"?
Oh, Uli.
Wherein have I wearied thee? Come on, you mothers, talk to me, testify against me. You think I'm difficult?
Yeah.
I keep telling you I'm a pussycat. I'm a wuss.
Amen.
For I brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. I think it would behoove you all to investigate those two things.
Shittim and Gilgal?
What Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered. Because it defines the righteousness of the Lord. That's kind of important.
Where is
that? What?
Where is that?
It's in Numbers 22 and Joshua 24 and Numbers 25. All right? We're not gonna do that tonight. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? But what it says, to walk humbly with thy God, it's a bad translation. It says to humble thyself to walk with thy God. Understand the difference?
Yeah.
Remember I've told you, the rabbis say there's 613 laws of Moses, and they're a pyramid. They start up, and it goes up until, and then there's 10 commandments. And it goes up a little bit, and then there's 3. And then it goes up to Habakkuk. The just shall live by his faith. They're all the same.
You don't have to study the mercy seat when it does, and to love mercy has a whole different way of thinking about it now.
That's good.
It's just...
Well, also to love, the mercy is chassid, which means it's the fruit of the covenant. It means what to love mercy is to love the covenant.
And to hate anything that's against
it. Hate anything else. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Now hear ye the rod, and who hath pointed it? Now we come to asset type stuff. Hear the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Mm-hmm. In other words, the scant measure meaning that which was the tithe, which is abominable. But the treasure remains in the house of the wicked. You understand? Anyone do that? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and in making thee desolate because of thy sin. Now, this is where in the Talmud it talks about all of the stuff that happens, including death, as Ananias and Sapphira, when you pass under the rod dishonestly. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I shall make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Now, what he's saying there, those summer fruits are not good fruit. They're the fruit that was dropped early. Understand? There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit, the first fruit offering. You got it? The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Now this is in opposition. This is the fruit of the evil that has previously been talked about. You don't need to hunt anybody with a net. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desires, so they wrap it up. The best of them is a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hinge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. All of the analogies about briars, remember we've talked about it before, it's Jacob and Esau. Esau is always the briar patch. The thorns, the unfruitful tree, the tree that beareth bad fruit.
Yeah.
Jacob is always the tree that beareth good fruit. Got it? What's the fruit of Jacob? Israel. Trust you not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And that's what Christ quoted. Therefore will I look into the Lord. I will wait. Therefore, again, will I look only unto the Lord. I will wait only for the Lord of my salvation. My God only will hear me, or only my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me now, in spite of all this shit. All kinds of stuff has just happened to me. I get cast about, I get screwed up, I get bent out of shape, I get thrown down. But now, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause. I will sit.
Oh, wow.
I will sit until he alone pleads my cause, no matter what sensory perception says. Got it? I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he alone plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy, how come it's a she? Because the only enemy is Babylon. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Again from Peter, where is the evidence of his presence? All things continue as they have from the beginning. The scoffer Esau will always say, where is the evidence of his presence? Your mind will always say, where's the evidence of his presence? Show me some evidence. Show me some people. Show me some successes. You want successes? Go join the Bush campaign. Shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. And that in the day that thy walls are to be built, in the day, in that day shall the decree be far removed. And that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortresses, even to the river, and from the sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, and the flock of thine heritage which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Remember, that's what's read at every baptism. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Selah.
Yeah. Great book.
It's never really been a bestseller, though, Doug.
Well, what happens is that you hear this one quoted about, you know, do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God, but they're doing exactly the opposite with that verse that the book is about, you know, because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to let Samaria in.
Yeah.
I don't know how or why, but as we were reading this tonight, now I know why we do the asset tithe and the first fruit offering. And now I know why you're so excited about it. I had no idea why you were so excited about it. It just seemed like something.
Now it's a biggie.
Yeah, it does seem, it's beginning to seem more, you know, not just a tithe, but a real...
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, the one thing that I... That what's going to take place as a result of this process is an extreme elevation of the importance of the deaconesses. I mean, you'll see the fruit of it. But what's going to happen is that as the thing passed under the rod, I mean, all kinds of things will be identified, and you all are going to have to help them. Okay. A lot of people don't know how to do stuff. They don't know how to do anything. Well, the deaconesses are fundamentally an enabling office. It's a helps ministry. It's to enable people to do stuff. Part of that enabling, in many cases, is a rod. Which enabling says, okay, you can't do that anymore. If somebody, and the test is, if the moment that somebody comes and asks us for money, then they
fall into the rod.
Fall into the rod. They are in a position where they have to submit to the authority of the deaconesses. With regard to budgeting, with regard to even getting a job or not a job, you know, whatever. And so as this process goes, I mean it's going to affect lives in a major way. Okay? And I don't mean to, I'm not saying that to be solicitous, to try to throw you a sop for not inviting you to the meeting. I didn't invite you to the meeting on purpose.
right.
Maybe I was throwing you a sub.
So what?
So what? It's true anyway.
Stop this.
Right.
Tell you, big guy.